listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
Well, good morning, afternoon, and evening, depending. Never mind. Old podcast joke.
A classic. How has your week been, my friends? My super friends?
I did not want to get out of my bed this morning because the weather took that turn and it's so cold and my bed is so cozy and warm.
Yeah,
it's the week was fine.
Yeah, yesterday was the Monty Python joke of, you know, summer gave autumn a push and went straight on into winter.
Yeah. Right.
Nah, oh it'll be 90 next week.
Yeah, no shit. This is fake winter right
this,
now.
This is false winter number one.
Yeah.
I don't care because it was nice though, because I literally didn't have anything to do yesterday, which is mm-hmm. bizarre. And so a little later we'll talk about what I did do, but it was a lot of me sitting on the couch with a blanket on my lap, which was nice. Yeah. I got, I had done some shopping at Kohl's recently and had some of their Kohl's cash. And I beat Kohl's, you guys. I finally beat Kohl's. I walked into Kohl's to spend my Kohl's cash, and I literally only spent my Kohl's cash, and I did not give them an actual dollar of actual money.
Well played.
Wow. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Thank you. It was an accomplishment. I feel like I should get an award for that. I got two brand new blankets for my Kohl's cash, which I really didn't need new blankets, but I also didn't need anything else at that store to spend my Kohl's cash, and so... Yeah, that was me. That was the highlight of my week, was free fuzzy blankets from Kohl's. How about you guys? How was your week?
Busy. We're putting the magazine to bed this week, and I worked. And one of my kids had a birthday, and fuck, it was just wall-to-wall stuff. I got very, very little done outside of things that I feel I am, you know, not contractually, but close to obligated mm-hmm. to do throughout the year or the week. So, yeah, I very uneventful week. But the next 2 weeks, and we'll talk about this off mic later, but my beloved Braxton is getting married next weekend.
Oh,
or as Braxton. as this drops this coming weekend. And mm-hmm. then he goes on his honeymoon. And
oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you got there. You got there quick.
Oh, shit.
So I'm working on that. I'm working on how much my next couple of weeks is going to suck.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're working on every day is what it's going to sound. Is what it sounds like.
It's what it looks like right now, but I'm working on it.
All right. Fair enough.
Unless you can con your boss into hanging out there on a Sunday or something.
That's what I'm working on.
Yeah. let's see. The week itself was pretty uneventful. Not much to report. Then yesterday, my poor aged mother, who is in her mid-90s now, still has a swamp cooler up on the roof of her house.
Ugh.
And it was up to me to go and take care of it yesterday morning. And as Joss and I were just talking about, winter decided to show
Ew.
Up early for, yesterday. So we were racing against the clock to drain and dry out the well of that, swamp cooler, before it started raining on us and completely undoing our work. Effectively, we needed to get that cooler, drained and covered within a couple of hours. And if you've ever drained a cooler, you know, it takes longer than you think. Oh, this will only take, you know, 20 minutes. No, it takes longer because you've got to make sure that fucker is dried out, or else what happened last year is somebody else went up and covered it. They didn't bother to drain it.
Those bastards.
Mm.
So when my mother went to, had it uncovered, they said, "We got bad news. You're not going to, that motor is completely rusted out now."
Oh.
Yeah. Fortunately, everything else was still okay, but the motor rusted out. And it was a fairly new motor, so she wound up having to buy another new motor to put in it just so she could have cool
not
air
a lot blowing. Of not a lot of income at that age.
No. Yeah. No. They're getting a raise, allegedly, but you know, unless the Republicans have something to say about that this voting season. By the way, is 100% dependent upon her earned Social Security and her earned Medicare. So fuck you, Republicans who want to end Social Security and Medicare.
Yep.
If you get power again. Yeah, fuck you guys. Because you'll kill my mom. That's all there is to it. She's got nothing. No savings. Nothing. She's got a house that I might be able to sell when she dies for, you know, 100K, and that's it. You know? Anyway. That was the big batch of fun there. And then we'll be off for sure next week, as I will be at church. My one time a year.
There you go.
I go to church. The only time of year I go to church, because it is the First Presbyterian Church's annual Kirkin' o' the Tartan. Where the clans show up to get our clan blessed by somebody who's closer to God than I am. So here's my official letter. Get your arse to church, MacArthur. So yeah, my arse has to be at church next Sunday. And then we're good for another year, is what I always say. That's my joke at the end of the day. It's like, good for another year. So yeah, if you live in the Salt Lake Valley, I can tell you, so the two services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday. They're short. They're only about an hour for those of you used to Mormon church. It's only about an hour, and the Salt Lake Scots pipe band will be playing in the chapel. And just before the clans are blessed, there's this gorgeous moment where they play one of my favorite songs called Highland Cathedral. They start out on the bagpipes, then the organ and the choir and a little bit of a band join in, echoing through this acoustically perfect chamber. And yeah, it gives you chills every time you hear it. So if you've never experienced that and you like bagpipe music, because that's a big if, that's a big ask for some people. If you like bagpipe music, it's worth checking out. It's a lot of fun, just for that moment. Yeah, you got to sit through a sermon, but he keeps it pretty mild. He or she, I can't remember if we've lost our woman minister yet or not. But they usually keep it pretty mild because they're, watch, I say that, and this year people will show up and it'll be like fire and brimstone shit. But usually they keep it pretty mild because they know it's not just, you know, Presbyterians in the room. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And usually the governor and one of the senators show up. I don't know who. If Mike Lee shows up, I'll pop him in the snot rocket for
I'll
you.
I'll go to jail and I'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
We will bail you out if you punch Mike Lee in the nose.
There we go.
Regarding my finances, I will cheer you from the sidelines.
I'll get the rest of the Democrats of the state to help.
I will rally the troops, man. Yep.
Anyway, that's my fun for this week. And next week, apparently. Let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
All right, this first one stings. This one hurts. This one hurts more than any other this year.
Oh,
Eclipse,
no.
The Seattle dog known for riding a city bus by herself to take herself to the dog park and home every day, died on Friday.
Aww.
She was 10 years old. She died in her sleep. She'd been diagnosed with cancerous tumors. She gained attention in 2015 when she began to take the bus alone. Her owner, Jeff Young, says the two of them would regularly take the bus to visit the local Belltown dog park. One day he was smoking a cigarette when the bus arrived, so she got on without him. Within weeks, the Black Lab Bull Mastiff mix was a consistent commuter. In her signature red harness, bus drivers recognized her and knew her stop by looking out the window. Her fellow passengers told the news. While fans marveled at Eclipse's ability, Young spoke about her habit with what could be taken as nonchalance or perhaps just confidence in his dog. We get separated. She gets on the bus without me, and I catch up with her at the dog park. It's not hard to get on. She gets on in front of a house, and she gets off at the dog park three or four stops later.
And as we all know, doggy fare is free in Seattle. So, yeah.
So, Eclipse, you glorious lady, you dame of the dog park.
That's right.
Rest in peace, kid. You're
such
adorable.
A good dog.
Very good dog. Ezra Miller watch. He has pleaded not guilty to burglary charges, even though there's a fucking video of it.
I know.
Well, I mean, we've never said that they were very smart.
That's true. Ezra faces a potential 26-year sentence. As reported by Deadline, the actor appeared remotely in the Vermont Superior Court to speak to recently filed charges, which alleged they broke into the property of Isaac Winicore, their neighbor. Following their plea, Miller was prohibited from interacting with Winicore and faces a potential jail time of 26 years if found guilty. The DC Extended Universe star also may be liable to pay up to a $2,000 fine. Seems a low fine for a 26-year sentence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
The judge ordered Miller to appear in court again at an as-yet-to-be-confirmed date to continue with the case. During legal proceedings, the Flash star agreed to the court's conditions and noted that they understood the procedure going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. We're going through a rough spot for the DCEU. That's what we are.
Oh no!
Don't jump ahead. You don't know. you don't know.
Okay. I'll wait.
Hasbro's new Marvel Legends figure is an obscure character mm-hmm. who appears at first glance to have a mix between Bruce Campbell and a Terminator.
Yeah. it's Bruce Campbell's head on a Terminator body. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
I'll be back, baby. anyway, it's Pretty Boy, an esoteric villain from the X-Men comics.
Mm-hmm.
The official Hasbro Pulse Instagram announced the upcoming figure for the Marvel Legends set. And within minutes, fans filled the comment section wondering who the fuck Pretty Boy is. Mm-hmm. And comparing him to other characters from other universes, the top comments compare Pretty Boy's face to that of Ash Williams, the protagonist of the Evil Dead franchise, portrayed by Bruce Campbell. And I'm not... They got a picture. They got a side-by-side. Pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com and look at this. That's Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really, it's totally Bruce Campbell. And it's just so funny that... because Pretty Boy, I don't recall Pretty Boy looking much like Bruce Campbell when he was drawn by... Oh, I can't remember the artist at the time. This was a character from back in the 80s. Part of a three-man group called the Marauders, who were all cybernetically enhanced. Pretty Boy being basically a head on a robot body. And then having his organs, I guess his human organs, encased inside of the metal chassis. But I'm curious if the other Marauders are going to show up as well, because, you know, then just give me a brown suited Wolverine and I can recreate my favorite comic book moments from X-Men back in the day.
There you go.
Wolverine shredding the Marauders.
That's fair.
Yep.
That's fair. I don't know. Do I want to get it and stick it next to my Ash figures? A little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. That's what I'm thinking anyway. Scandal. Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
In the gaming world, voice actor Helena Taylor says she didn't reprise her role in Bayonetta 3, as she was only offered $4,000 for the job. She's asking fans to boycott the game and to donate to charity instead. What she said was, let's see if I can find the quote. The Bayonetta franchise made an approximated $450 million, not including merchandise. As an actor, I trained for a total of 7.5 years, 3 years at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, Lambda, with voice coach Barbara Berkley, and 4.5 years, the legendary Larry Moss at Los Angeles. And what they think this is worth? What did they offer to pay me? The final offer had to do with the whole game as a buyout, flat rate, $4,000. This is an insult to me, the amount of time I took to work on my talent and everything that I have given to this game. And to the fans, I'm asking the fans to boycott the game and instead spend the money that you would have spent on this game donating to charity. Now, as a person with a certain amount of talent that constantly gets underbid, I will not be buying Bayonetta 3, even though Jennifer Hale, also a very talented voice actor, has asked people to please be calm. Says, as a longtime member of the Voice Acting Academy, I support every actor's right to be paid well and to have advocated consistently for this for years. Let's see. The line is, I am under an NDA and am not at liberty to speak regarding this situation, but my reputation speaks for itself. I sincerely ask that everyone keep in mind that this game has been created by an entire team of hardworking, dedicated people, and I hope everyone will keep an open mind about what they've created. No, I will not. Sorry. I was gonna, and then I decided not to. Because $4,000 is a fucking joke. Now,
it is a joke. It is a joke. And here's the thing. I'm a little... I don't want to throw Helena Taylor under the bus, but I will. you need to know what your value is before when you walk in. You need to walk in with a number. You need to say, this is what I'll do it for, because these fuckers will pay you nothing if they can get away with it. And you may have agreed to do Bayonetta 1 and 2 for a K because you were just getting started out. But by this point, you should have a manager, an agent, somebody who can get you. Well, SAG-AFTRA, for example, their session fee is $1,000 for a 10-minute session. That's session fee. That's scale. So if you know you're going to go in for a couple of days, they should be paying you the session fee based upon that. You should walk in with a number. You don't just go, well, could I get a little more than what you offered me last time? Sure, we'll pay you $4,000, period. It's like, what? Not $4,000.
I will go along with you on this, on the fact that if you are under the belief that corporate powers, no matter who they are or what they do, are just going to be like, hey, we made a shitload of money, it's time to pay you what you're worth. it's not going to
happen.
That's
really cute.
Wouldn't that be nice?
So, obviously, I think with the claim of the NDA, there's more here than meets the eye. It's definitely an Autobots Decepticons thing.
I think with the NDA, I mean, so they put what's her name? Jennifer Hale under an NDA. I imagine Jennifer Hale is probably getting scale for it. She's probably getting the standard rate. Because she probably has a manager who walked in and said, no, you pay the standard rate if you want Jennifer Hale. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
True.
But if you're, and that's the thing, if you're working in this industry, you need to have representation because they can do more. You got to have good representation.
And if you do have representation, it's time for new representation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think if Helena Taylor has representation, she needs a new rep. She needs a new agent or a new manager because that's a bullshit amount, you know, that they're getting you, because that's not enough. Obviously, that's not even that pays for. I would say, well, that pays for 40 minutes of my time. So what day do you want me?
Yeah, there you go.
And I'll be there for an hour and then I leave for the $4,000. Oh, do you need more time from me? It's $1,000 a session. at a session's 10 minutes. So up to three voices. If I do more than three voices in a session, you have to pay me another $300 for each voice you want me to do in the session. In the session. I'm just reading this literally right off of SAG-AFTRA's rules. I just looked it up. What's the session fee for voice talent? And it's like, yeah, $1,014 for a 10-minute session. And $326 per voice, additional voice, if you're doing more than three voices.
I do. I need to get back on that track.
Yeah,
that's what I need. All right, gang. Star Trek Resurgence, a new video game, has released a trailer, a plot, and a release date. I've played on and off Star Trek Online for about a decade now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game's pretty fucking old. And while the ship-to-ship combat's pretty fucking great, the ground combat's a joke. It's absolute embarrassment, and I can't believe they haven't fixed it yet. But with this one, comparing itself to Star Trek Bridge Crew, which was fun, but really, really shallow, the upcoming release of Star Trek Resurgence could well turn out to be a watershed moment for fans, promising an experience that will allow users to engage with key elements from the franchise's universe. It offers a variety of instantly recognizable details from myriad television series and movies. Mm-hmm. Revealed during the Game Awards in 2021, since then the developer, Dramatic Labs, has released two trailers showcasing what the game will offer. It was supposed to come out this spring of 2022, and instead will come out spring of 2023, which I think I'm fine with that. With most games, it's like, okay, you know, you're a struggling game developer and you want to make sure that it works great. Perfect. This one delivers. The developers promise that despite the entirely new cast, even those with a cursory interest in the series will get to meet some old favorites. None are more iconic than Spock. By this point, a Federation ambassador who makes an appearance at a briefing between higher ranking members of the crew. The as-yet-unnamed voice actor for the Vulcan ambassador sounds uncannily like Nimoy, and he does.
He sounds just like Nimoy.
Yep, and looks to be a real high point for the production. The trailer hints at the narrative direction for the game, and once again showcases the instantly recognizable Trek tech.
Mm-hmm.
I will be buying this game because I buy all of them, because that's who I am and what I stand for.
I like that it's... You're coming into a POV for a particular character. You can choose which character, obviously, you play. But I like one as a enlisted man, a crewman, who just joined. He just signed up. He didn't.
I'm Bold Boimler.
Yeah, he didn't. He's a crewman. He didn't even want to. He's like Miles O'Brien the early years, because he didn't want to wait to going to Starfleet Academy. So he signed up immediately to go into space. Meanwhile, you've got a newly minted lieutenant getting assigned to a ship and getting chewed out by the captain. It's a lot of fun. It sounds like a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, it really does. And I'm looking forward to it. And with all that in mind, that's it for the news.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
To some, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much, but that's not true. They're testing out vowels and consonants and trying different sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on meaning, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Wonder, we can share a love divine.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
What did you watch on TV or at the movies this week? Let's start with Joss.
Start with me, because I'm super boring. So I didn't have anything else to do yesterday, and I found Wayward Pines. on Hulu. Oh. Now, I am really weirded out by this because I know for a fact I read this book. Mm-hmm. What I cannot remember is if I actually ever watched this TV show or not, but I am really enjoying it. I think I watched like the first four episodes yesterday because I just sat on my couch with my fuzzy new blanket and it kept autoplaying.
That's the one
so
with
I couldn't get up.
Shannon Sossamon, right?
Yes, yes.
She's pretty.
Yes, it is. And Carla, how do you say her last name?
Gugino.
Gugino, yeah. Mm. Yeah, so delightful. I was looking for something just a little bit on the like mysterious side, and this fit the bill for me. So I'm going to try and finish watching that because it only got two seasons. It didn't get picked up for a third. But like I said, I just seriously cannot remember if I ever actually watched this show when it was on or if I just read the book and now I'm finding the show. But it's fun either way.
Yeah, that's I remember. It's vague, but I remember the show. I remember. Right. I remember liking it. And I remember the reason that I watched it was Sossamon and Gugino. And then it was then, like, oh, this is really good.
And same. I was like flipping through it. I was like, oh, Wayward Pines, that was a really good show. And then as it's going, I'm like, I don't know if I remember this or if I just remember the book. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't watched Wayward Pines, go find it because it was really good. But otherwise, I mean, we didn't watch anything else real significant this week. We just kind of did our thing.
Evidently, it's on Hulu, so go check it out.
It is on Hulu. Go check it out. What'd you guys watch, though?
Well, House of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. Caught that this week. I honestly thought last week was the season finale, because it would have been a great fucking place to stop, to be honest.
Yeah, wouldn't it have been? Yeah.
And yet, this episode, it's like, wow, it is political machinations that you know... I don't even know how to explain it without spoiling it, but what's her name? The auntie from the ship town?
Yeah.
She missed a really good opportunity to clean up a mess. That's all I'm saying.
We were talking about this after we watched it, and I'm like, well, okay, I've learned in writing women that whatever my instinct is, they should do the opposite, and then it's more true to women. So my instinct was, yeah, say that word, lady. Let's clean up this mess right now. And she doesn't clean up the mess, and I'm like, okay, so okay, you've followed what is not would not be my instinct. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I really liked that one. That was a what felt it was dragging on. No pun intended.
What?
You know, because it starts out way early in the morning in this episode, and then all of a sudden we just skip the rest of the day, and we're at, you know, it's getting late. One of the characters says to another one, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess that day's over with, and you've not really accomplished much. And then the next day, but that ending paid off so well.
Yep.
So. Perfectly. And it was like, thank you for that ending. Now I'm hyped for today's drop of the season finale. So
yep, I am too. We got the season finale of Rings of Power. Mm-hmm. That was okay. You know what? I thought you were gonna do what you did, and it still caught me by surprise. So, you know, that was that. And then you had, I'm trying not to spoil anything, but you had a throw to a line from the Lord of the Rings movies from a certain character that could lead to his identity as we go forward. And I hope that it is, because I've really become fond of that actor and the work that the work that he's done on the show. So... it was good. I mean, it was a good, solid fucking episode. And I really was caught up in it. I enjoyed it. So,
there was a DVR this issue this week, so I'll hopefully catch up to the final episode this week.
Oh, okay.
I did catch two. So I wasn't into the show. I kept watching. I'm like, I'm not into the show. But I'm going to watch it because, you know, everybody's telling me how good it is. And I made it to episode 5. And holy shit, there we go. Suddenly I'm watching Lord of the Rings again.
Yep.
I got a Hobbit song, although they're not really Hobbits yet, because this is way early in the history. But I get a Hobbit song. I get all this, you know, build up and everything. And it felt like Lord of the Rings. And I was like, okay, I understand I needed all that, although I still question Galadriel's weird decision.
Which one?
Well, I'm going back to first episode, jumping ship in the middle of the ocean before she actually gets, you know, crosses into the Western lands. And I'm like, why did she jump ship when she could have just swum to shore, you know? And anyway, that was the only time I questioned her weird motives. I mean, she makes some weird choices all the way through. I like how she's messy. Usually when you see an elf, they've got this perfectly straight coiffed hair, and she's kind of messy. And I kind of dig that about her, that she's like, no, fuck it. I'm here to fight a fight.
Especially because of how tidy she becomes by the time we hit Lord of the Rings.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She's like this goddess elf and everybody respects her. And yet I really didn't know who she was because I never made it through, very far into Lord of the Rings. And so I really didn't know all of her backstory and everything. Now I really appreciate who I met when I met Galadriel in the movie with this character. But it's like it felt so much more like a Lord of the Rings show. And yeah, I have suspicions as to what's coming and I'm pretty excited about it. So yeah, good show. Yeah, now that I've got to episode 5, great, good show. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it was a slow warm up, but I enjoyed it throughout. Mainly for the reasons I enjoyed Peter Jackson's movies, and that's if you have ever had your hands on the extended editions and you go back through and watch all the appendices, you get to see how much fucking care and detail went into each and every goddamn frame of that. And giving Jeff Bezos the devil his due, he put enough fucking money into this that they have put the same care into everything you see, and so now it's just a matter of letting the script catch up to where everybody gets hooked. And I think I'm glad you stayed with it because I think a lot of people dumped it too early. But you're telling, and we've talked about this before. You're telling the sweeping tale of something that was basically written like a fucking textbook.
Right.
So you're adding dialogue and character development and you know, motive and et cetera that just did not exist until the script writers worked on it. And I think they're doing a great fucking job. What else?
Yeah. All I have to say to people, if they're struggling, episodes 4 and 5 are the one, 5 especially is the one that hooked me and just really pulled me in. So yeah, do it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, and I don't know why. It just hasn't struck me as something I'm ready to sit down and watch. And so I'm hopeful now that it's all out. Maybe I was waiting so that if they were going to announce a second season or
they did.
You know, they did. You're told me not to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, you're safe now. I think they have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much to my surprise, Andor was not finished.
Yeah.
There was more Andor, and I was like, yay! And it was a great fucking episode. I love this show.
The most Star Wars, to me, it was the most Star Wars episode so far. I mean, yeah, you know, he was fighting an Imperial garrison, or not fighting, he was robbing an Imperial garrison in the first few episodes. But now this one, you actually see stormtroopers, you see, you know, all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah. You get a not quite cameo of an important character in Andor's life, but we know it probably wasn't him.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. But yeah, it was such a cool moment. It was like, when they met.
Yeah, it was a really tense episode. I really liked the drama in that episode and just how fucking tense everybody became with good reason, with very good reason. So I'm looking forward to more of that because I think that one goes 12.
Yeah.
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 And for some reason,
they have episodes
up
through November. So we've got plenty to do. Yep.
Lower Decks.
Ha. Not earned. That's all I can say about it. It wasn't earned. I understand what they were trying, how they had to get from point A to point B with one of the characters. It wasn't earned.
Yeah.
Based upon what we've seen for three seasons now, all of that was not earned. It was funny. It was wacky. It was crazy. It wasn't earned. Yeah. So
I'll give you that.
I was kind of like, I enjoyed it. And yet at the same time, I was like, none of this was earned. And I wish you'd figured out a better way to get from point A to point B on this one.
Yeah.
But
that's fair.
You know, maybe somebody got, you know, a worm or something. I don't know. But, and that fucking admiral's up to something. I can't wait to find out what it is.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am continuing to get caught up with Welcome to Wrexham. I am. Rob McEnany and Ryan Reynolds are just fucking delightful. What they're doing with this town and the way that this documentary series is set up, where it focuses on the people in town and the fans of the team almost more than the team. Mm-hmm. And Ryan and Rob are basically there to move the narration along as opposed to being the stars of the documentary. Really makes for emotional gut punches from episode to episode. And so I am, instead of binging that one, I am savoring that one, even though I'm behind at about one a week. And then I went and saw Black Adam last night.
Okay.
Buckle. I'm ready. Let's hear it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to see it again.
Okay.
Now, when the Eternals came out, I had to see it again because there was something wrong with the fucking projector and I couldn't see shit the whole time. Mm-hmm. Right. So I went and saw it the next morning and was like, I really wish I had seen it with the projector working the first time. I would have liked it more.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, the spectacle is amazing. You know, it is a well-shot movie. Hawkman looks fucking great. Dr. Fate looks fucking great. Black Adam looks a little weird because of the way they built the suit on that giant fucking Polynesian man. And it does look weird. His shoulders look funny. But if you could stuff, remember last week's Patreon when we talked about the 10 most awful tropes in comic books that need to go away?
Yes.
Uh-huh. They were all in here. They were all in there.
Oh, no.
And not only that, it gloriously failed the Bechdel test.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And yet,
oh.
I laughed several times throughout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a few times where I did get caught up in the spectacle of the whole thing. It was a good, solid introduction to the Justice Society. The Whirlwind girl, whose name I suddenly can't remember. I think it's Whirlwind.
Cyclone.
And Adam Smasher were adorable. Pierce Brosnan was fucking handsome as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
The actor who played Hawkman was wildly cliche, even though, fuck, he looked good. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the way this movie looked is probably the best any of the DC movies have looked. Right? But
right.
Okay.
This script had flaws that should have been fixed considering how long it took for this movie to be fucking made. My guess is when they did the massive batter reshoots last year, they broke what could have been a better movie.
Mm.
It's okay to let us think from scene to scene, as opposed to having it fucking spoon-fed to us, you know, like pablum. but yeah, there's a couple of surprise cameos. It turns out that fucking Amanda Waller is the DC's douchebag Nick Fury, I guess.
Yep.
Since she fucking popped up. She popped up. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need her in this. I'm sick of her. She's fucking Suicide Squad. Stick her back there and let her stay there. but no. No, she's apparently running the show for all of everything now. So if she pops up in The Flash, I won't be surprised. So do I feel like Dwayne Johnson owes me $30? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah,
okay.
I do. Not the worst movie I've ever seen. That still belongs to Valerian and the planet of a thousand, 10,000 planet cities, whatever. That piece of shit. Because that was our consolation driving home was well, at least it wasn't as bad as Valerian.
Oh, dear.
But
oh,
dear. If you have the ability to just turn everything upstairs off and watch a bright, shiny new toy, worth the time. Absolutely worth the time. You know, if you took Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson at his word that this will change everything in the DCEU, okay, not much. I wanted a better movie. I really, really, I had expectations, and that was stupid. Anyway, sir, what did you watch this week?
Oh, my. let's see. So we had, we talked about all the ones I watched that you watched as well. We also had, we have a return of Inside Amy Schumer, brand new season of the series. It's on, Paramount Plus, and it's Amy Schumer again. And it's fucking hilarious.
Oh, good.
First episode, we get she does this, fake commercial about California tourism, how it's, you know, and it's targeted to women for obvious reasons, at least if you pay attention to politics and everything. So, and she does it with such subtlety, you know, she's like, and you can come and we'll, you know, we'll let you have a good vacation and we'll let you recover from your vacation while you're here. It was just so goddamn funny all the way through. I watched that just before Lower Decks, and I was glad I did. Also, we had a new episode of Stargirl. They're calling it Infinity Incorporated Part 1 because we're getting finally the introduction of Obsidian. We had Jade last year. Now we're getting, she's found her twin brother Obsidian, or twin brother Tom, I think. I can't remember. But yeah, she's found him, and that's going to turn into a thing. So I'm glad that's working forward, but it's kind of weird the way all this is playing out. It's gotten a little soap opera-y, as always, because it's a CW show, but they weren't as soap opera-y up until now. So good news on that.
Maybe it's a glitch.
Yeah, maybe. And then, and Amanda Waller hasn't shown up yet. So that's,
yeah.
That's a plus. And meanwhile, Kung Fu, speaking of getting soap opera-y Kung Fu, just when Nikki thought her boyfriend was never coming back and had ghosted her for 4 months, and so she decides to move on, she finds out he's in trouble and she's got to go help him. I was like, wow. Yeah, okay. Let's see how that goes. Yeah, it was okay. It was an okay episode. I get a little bored with the obvious soap opera tropes. Like we said, if you could end some tropes, it would be nice. And this is one of those they throw into these shows, and it's like, fine, I'll suffer through it until you get back to some good stuff. But there was this awesome moment, and my wife was like, well, that wasn't much of a fight. And I'm like, actually, that was a perfect fight, because she's up against this guy she'd fought with in a previous season, and he's demanding a rematch, and she's like, fine, we can fight. If I win, you tell me the information you have, and if I lose, then he said, then yeah, you owe me a favor. She's like, fine. And they fight, and it's this wonderful moment where he makes a move and she counters it, and if you know what you're looking for, you could see her counter it, and you see the look on his face of, fuck, she countered that. And then he makes another move and she counters it. It was like Batman fighting Captain America in the Justice League JSA comic, where they kind of square off for a second and they're like, Batman says, I could probably beat you, but it would be really hard. Wouldn't it be better if we worked together? figure out what's going on. And Steve was like, yeah, let's go. And they take off together. But it was just this wonderful moment. And then she finally gets him with a double hand punch, and he goes down, and he just flies across the room. And it was just this wonderful moment of, he's like, fuck, yeah, you beat me. Let me tell you what I know. It was just really a cool moment. But my wife was like, I wasn't much of a fight. I'm like, oh, no. There was a lot going on in that fight that you weren't seeing. There was a lot going on. So that was what I watched this week. So let's do some moving picture news.
G4, everybody's favorite gaming channel of the 90s, has come back to life and died again. It has been translated into heaven. The revived gaming channel, currently ranked dead last in cable viewers, with an average of 1,000 viewers a day.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Comcast Spectator-owned cable channel dedicated to gaming is shut down again. Dave Scott, Comcast Spectator chairman and CEO, broke the news to the G4 staff in a memo circulated last week while we were recording. I can't help but think that the timing was on purpose so that we wouldn't be able to report it last week. Dave Scott. Everybody knows what a demanding news source we are. Anyway, it comes just under a year since the channel's relaunch last November. The channel's relaunch, followed by 7 dormant years for the gaming channel. I don't know if you guys remember. This is the channel that launched Olivia Munn's career.
Yeah.
Bless it. But yeah, ultimately only 1,000 viewers a day, and that's it. Everybody got the note. We are closed immediately. So that sucks. And then,
well,
you know, I didn't
honestly, they would have done better if they created a streaming network.
They did,
in my opinion.
They did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that was part of the build out model, was streaming for esports. And it just, I don't know, man. I saw so little noise when they announced the relaunch. I got very excited because I used to love G4. And then once they launched it, there was like nothing. It's like they spent no money on marketing. I didn't see a goddamn thing after that because
I didn't even know the channel existed out there. So
yeah, what are you gonna do when you can watch people game on YouTube for free?
Yeah, no shit.
Right?
I mean, YouTube has taken that over. There are guys who just, that's their whole brand. They make money as influencers by just you literally sit and watch them play a video game for free. Yeah. Why would you? Yeah, I don't. Okay.
So,
sorry, G4.
I want to tell you as we move into this next story, the absolute ownage that Marvel did on DC during the previews, the trailers leading into Black Adam yesterday. In the theater that I was in, all of the trailers played on the screen. And then Wakanda Forever pops up, and it's that wraparound three-wall shit.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I was like, oh, my God, look at that. And it fucking did it, and then it went back to single screen again. I'm like, that is a flex, Marvel, right there. That is a super flex. But yeah, there's going to be special episodes of Marvel Studios Legends ahead of Wakanda Forever. If you haven't watched Studio Legends on the Disney Plus network, it's actually pretty cool, behind the scenes shit and other stuff and stories, and it's like a refresher of who's who and where they're coming from. So if you feel like you are too far removed from the last Black Panther movie, this is a good way to get caught up. But yeah, it's the short videos are meant to serve as a recap, catching viewers up on specific characters and events that may be relevant to the new MCU show or film. Now, it's been reported that more of these Legends episodes will land on the streaming service just prior to Wakanda Forever's premiere. So that's pretty cool. Boudica? It's Celtic.
Boudica.
Boudica. Starring Olga Korolenko, has wrapped shooting in the UK. You okay, buddy?
Joss is that excited about Boudicca.
Sorry, the dog got excited and knocked something over.
That's the dog's funny. Excited about Boudicca. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, it's the I'm not going to say true story because she's a legend. But the story about a legendary warrior queen, also starring a whole bunch of people you've not heard of.
All from Vikings, though.
Yeah.
So you'll recognize them. You don't know who they are by their name, but you'll watch and go, hey, that's that guy or that's that girl. Yeah.
Peter Franzen from Vikings. Clive Standen from Vikings. Lucy Martin from Vikings. Nick Moran from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Rita Tushingham. Boy, that one had to be bad in grade school. from Last Night in Soho, James Faulkner, Game of Thrones, Harry Curtin, Peaky Blinders, Leo Gregory, Green Street Hooligans, and more. But inspired by the true events in AD 60, the film follows the Celtic queen who rules the Iceni people alongside her husband, Prastagos. Prasutagus. Bunch of new names.
Prasutagus.
When he's betrayed and killed by Rome, her kingdom is left without a male heir, and the Romans seize the land and property. Driven to the edge of madness and determined to avenge her husband's death, she rallies the various tribes from the region and wages an epic war against the mighty Roman Empire.
Yep. She's a Celtic hero. Boudicca's a Celtic hero. Yeah. I know we'll be at this movie.
Oh, fuck yeah. In a heartbeat. Yeah. Marvel hired a dude to play She-Hulk in that... in that exquisite opening for the final episode.
Right? So good.
And I get it. For a bodybuilder, this dude's he's good looking.
Yep.
Yeah. And I see why they did it. And it explains some question marks I had in my head when I was like, well, why does the CGI look so real this time?
Because it was, I mean, that's exactly what they would have done.
Yeah.
You know, in the 70s is they would have, you know, cast a dude in the role. But I just, the whole thing was funny because, again, it's part of that, what happened in the final episode, you know, and her saying, no, you know, and it's just, it's so perfect. It was all part of it. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm looking for this dude's name, Devon Lewis. Was the She-Hulk during the final episode's opening minute. And you know what? Way to go, pal. You really made it fun. That opening was a delight. And Tiffany, who really never caught on to She-Hulk at all and has never seen the Incredible Hulk TV show with Bixby, did not know why I was sitting there giggling, cackling, and clapping my hands like a, like a 7-year-old at Disney on Ice. Yeah,
I was. That's exactly what I was doing.
But same. Yeah, the incels are questioning why they had to bring a dude in to do it, and I'm like, look at him. It makes sense. It was fucking great casting too. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
And next season on RuPaul's Drag Race. Oh, there you go.
Anyway, that's it for the TV and movie news.
All right, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural. And you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We got a box.
What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
Let's get some comic book news.
Comic book news. Did I do comic book news this week? Yes, I did. Absolutely. Of course I did. Nightwing is bringing back McDaniel, Jannen, Leonardi, and more for an oversized 100th issue. This issue, so big, so action-packed, so important to the continuity of the DC comic book universe that I still can't fucking order it, even though it's coming out in January, and that's where the fucking catalogs are. Jesus, DC, give me a fucking break, would you please? I got people begging for this shit. And I want to deliver, because that's my job. Mm-hmm. I'm a deliverer of comic books. Anyway, go ahead and keep pestering your local comic book shop, folks, because sooner or later this thing will pop up and be available to order because it looks fucking great. And a lot of the covers, the variants that they're putting out with it look wonderful too. And as you know, yeah. I am an anti-variant guy, you know, because
right.
let me just throw this out there. Coming up soon is Batman versus Spawn. Or Batman and Spawn. Batman and Spawn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice little crossover. We only had one other time. This is McFarlane and Capullo working together on this one. And it has so many covers that I am really sweating it. But every single one of them is a goddamn work of art. You know, say what you will mm-hmm. about McFarlane, and I will say plenty about him, including what I believe to be his absolute lack of a mastery of the English language. But that dude can draw when he sets mm-hmm. his mind to it, and his covers are great. Jim Lee's covers are great. Capullo's covers are great. Everybody else, J. Scott Campbell's cover is not misogynistic. It's because there's just two dudes
what?
On it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's just two dudes, you know.
Okay, fair.
But yeah, it's coming and it looks fantastic in Nightwing 100 coming out in January. Also going to be a big deal. It's going to have a 1-in-25 variant. It's going to have a 1-in-50 variant. It's got a few variants before that. It's going to run you $6.99. Mm-hmm. It is 56 pages, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a cardstock variant for $7.99. And that's if you're picking up one of those. Like there's a variant. One of the variant covers is an homage to George Perez. And it basically shows Nightwing from when he was Robin through all the various costumes, like the disco costume, the tough guy 90s costume, all the way through, you know, the various Nightwing costumes that he's had. And it just looks so cool because you can see that it's an homage to the way George Perez would yep. have done it. It's just really awesome.
So, no, yeah. it is a wonderful, and it's a wrap around that one.
Yeah.
So get two copies so you can pull the cover off one of them.
Mm-hmm.
On that one, at least. Jeff Johns, Gary Frank comic series Geiger, which I don't know if you guys caught, but I did. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Is headed to television. They're teaming up with Paramount Television Studios and the studio behind Dear White People in the upcoming Flashdance series. Comicbook.com. I don't know why you'd mention those two, but okie dokie. to bring Geiger, the best-selling Image comic series, to the small screen. The team will work with producer Jerry Seaman on the adaptation. No network or streamer is attached to the project yet. But anyway, set in the year 2050, Geiger centers around a radioactive family man named Tariq Geiger, who spends his days and nights doing anything he can to protect the fallout shelter housing his family. Mm-hmm. Geiger fights off a group of violent scavenger. He faces the wrath of the criminal empire they are connected to. Good gory show. It was a delight. Damon Lindelof tried to get a hold of Alan Moore, and Alan Moore told him to fuck right off. Told him to never bother him again. That encapsulates an Alan Moore story better than any Alan Moore story ever.
That's basically that's a perfect Alan Moore story right yep. there.
It says Lindelof wrote a little letter that said, "Dear Mr. Moore, I'm one of the bastards currently destroying Watchmen." Moore adds, "Went through a lot of what seemed to be neurotic rambling. Can you at least tell us how to pronounce Ozymandias? I got back a very abrupt and possibly hostile reply, telling him that I thought the Warner Brothers were aware that they." Nor any of their employees shouldn't contact me again for any reason. Explained that I had disowned the work in question. And partly that what was become of the film industry and the comics industry seemed to have created things that had nothing to do with my work, but which would be associated with it in the public mind. I said, look, this is embarrassing to me. I don't want anything to do with you or your show. Please don't bother me again. okay, Alan Moore, you walk and cuddle you.
What did the wizard who lives in his beard have to say about it?
The Tulsa shit was awesome.
Yeah, no shit.
And important. Mm-hmm. And about goddamn time. That's it for the comic book news.
Well, what have you guys been reading this week? Let's start with Jess.
I was going to say, start with me. I didn't read any comic books this week, you guys. Sorry about that.
It's all right. How about you, Jeff?
Nothing. I've been busy. Busy this week. I almost sat down and read Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And did not have time. I opened it up and went, I can't do this right now.
I intended to get up this morning and at least read a few, but then I turned my alarm off and cuddled back into my bed and went back to sleep. So
it's a good day for
that.
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah.
I fortunately did read some books this week.
Yay! So
we'll hit on my top three this week. At least you'll have something to talk about. GCPD, The Blue Wall by John Ridley. This is a cop book. Procedural book, basically, in some ways. Yeah, it's really interesting. So we have Renee Montoya is now commissioner. She's now the commissioner for Gotham, taking over for Jim Gordon. I guess Jim died. I haven't been reading Batman enough to know. Did he die?
Yeah,
I think he died. So we start out at it's at a graduation ceremony for rookies for new police officers. And I got to put on my readers because in the fine print, there was a little warning that I want to read to you guys. This comic contains language of a racially offensive nature and may not be suitable for all age groups. Its inclusion is an intentional creative choice intended to highlight the fact that language of this type was frequently deployed in past decades and remains in use today, even as contexts evolve. Readers for whom such language is triggering or hurtful should be advised. So it's telling you John Ridley isn't pulling punches on this one. He's going to address police racism. So you got three officers, graduating class, a Latino guy, a Latino officer named Ortega, a Korean officer, her name is Park, and then an African-American officer named Wells. They meet up at a favorite diner that they hang out in. And Wells is becoming a probation officer, which I thought was interesting because I thought probation officer was something that you did when your knees could no longer let you be a beat cop. You know? So it was such a good idea to have a rookie, a brand new, you know, a graduate from the police academy coming in as a parole officer because he's saying the right things and he's not jaded by, you know, so many years of having to bust the same guy over and over again. And even his senior, you know, his senior partner is like, why are you getting involved? Oh, you and your speeches, you know, and everything. He's like, we're going to be 10 to 1. We're busting that guy in a week. It's like, yeah, well maybe we are, but he's basically telling everybody he talks to, look, it's up to you, you know, to stay out of trouble. It's up to you. Park gets assigned to kind of Gotham's Chinatown where it's all tourists and stuff, but something happens that changes that for her. And then Ortega gets put in the triad or the tri-corner, which is a major crime area. He's excited because this kind of assignment that'll make your career is what he's saying. And he gets there and the first thing he hears is a racial slur against Latinos, which they edited a lot of foul language. They didn't edit that, but we were warned about it, you know, ahead of time. So, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Park gets put in a situation where she's got to make a choice whether or not to shoot somebody. In general, I'm excited to see where this goes. I love John Ridley, and I think this will be a fantastic series going forward. And I'm curious to see if Renee is ever going to put her mask on and go out and deal with something in this particular piece, since she played a very important role at the end of the other history of DC Universe that John Ridley wrote. So we'll see. Nightwing number 97. I'm only referencing this because there's this great moment where Babs is trying to get Dick to take some time off and let's just go away somewhere. And he's like, you know, I have to protect my city kind of thing. And she's like, city will still be here. You go, you know, let's you and I get away. I need a vacation kind of thing. Cause they've just hooked up finally after all these years. And, anyway, they find out that, they're in their talk. The police are interrogating, Marconi, and he's like, look, you guys got nothing on me, you know, and you're going to wind up at the bottom of the river because, of Blockbuster runs this town. They're like, oh, you don't know, Blockbuster's dead. And all of a sudden he's like, oh shit, if they know I'm in here talking to you guys, they're like, yeah. And so Montoya shows up and she's like, I'm taking him back to Gotham because we know how to keep you people alive. He goes, what do you mean? She said, the Joker's still alive. We know how to keep you crooks alive. Of course, the convoy's attacked on the way. Nightwing and Batgirl intervene. They get him off to a safe house in the woods that was one of Batman's safe houses. Nightwing tranquilizes him, and then Nightwing and Batgirl go upstairs to strip off their costumes and have some fun.
As you do.
They're coming down, putting their, you know, you can see them kind of adjusting the collar. You know, Nightwing's kind of adjusting the collar. Batgirl doesn't have her cape on, but they come back down in costume, and he's like, how'd you sleep? And Marconi says, not great. Your tranquilizer wore off after 3 hours, and these are really thin ceilings. Oh. That was awesome. And the nice thing is this Barbara just owns it. She's like, so? Finally, I read Crypt of Shadows from Marvel Comics. This is a one-off specifically for Halloween, which is this next week. And this is a lot of fun. It's several tales with the various monsters and creatures in the Marvel Universe, culminating with a fight between Laura Wolverine. The female Wolverine.
X-23.
Wolverine. Yeah, she's Wolverine, but you know, if I say Wolverine, you think of Logan, but it's not, it's Laura. And a fight between her and Man-Thing. And they decide to take it to its extremes. It's a fight that they basically fight for 100 million years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, because they're both effectively immortal, and it's just this crazy fight where she goes completely feral, and he loses, you know, Ted Salas goes feral, and it just turns into this just monster fight for 100 million years. And it was so crazy, and I was like, all right, I can see that. You get a cameo from Moon Knight, you get a cameo from Elsa Bloodstone, you get some cameos from other characters that I'm sure are important, but I don't know them. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And it was exactly what I thought it would be. I did not go in with high expectations of this book, and I was fortunately, you know, rewarded with some fun stuff and not disappointed in the weird tropiness of some of the others. So it was all right. Today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high, and I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week? We'll start with Joss.
We'll start with Mainstream from Marvel. I am looking forward to the variants number 4. I saw this in the solicitations. I remember reading the first one, and then I don't think I got numbers 2 and 3. So hopefully I can pick those up still. Because it's Gail Simone and Jessica Jones, and how I missed the last two issues, I'm not sure. But I'm going to hopefully pick those up and get caught up on the variants. How about you, Jeff?
I'm going to do, we're doing Mainstream. So Miracle Man Omnibus is coming out this week. I can't afford it, so it's bullshit to say that I'm buying it. But I wanna buy it. I'd like to own it, and would desperately like to read it as well. So that's my Marvel pick of the week. And then DC, the Joker Volume 1. This one starts out with a private syndicate hiring Jim Gordon to hunt down and assassinate the Joker. And it was pretty good. It was, I read the first six and it was good. You know?
Nice.
So, that's my mainstream stuff. What about you, sir?
For me, for Marvel Comics, I'm looking forward to Axe Judgment Day number 6. This is the final event, or the finale of the event for the year. Yeah. I want to see how this fucker ends, because this one, Kieran Gillen blew me away with some of the things that he went for in this book that I didn't expect to happen, and broke a few tropes, which I was very happy about. So, yeah, looking forward to number 6. I'm also looking forward to the Moon Knight Annual, number 1. It's the return of Moon Knight fighting Werewolf by Night. So Jack Russell comes back. There's a Darkhold thing. I think it may have something to do with what we see in Crypt of Shadows. That could be a thing that happens, because there's a story in Crypt of Shadows, and I think it might be tying into that a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited for that one. From DC, Human Target number 8. God damn, this is one of the best series they're doing. Love this from Tom King and Greg Smallwood. Yeah, we now know who the murderer was, but some shit that makes it even more complicated. So this will be fun. And finally, from my mainstream picks, Wonder Woman Historia number 3 by Kelly Sue DeConnick, this time illustrated by Nicholas Scott. And God, these books have been absolutely gorgeous, and I'm looking forward to this one too. Indie picks this week, from our friends at IDW. Oh, I've been looking forward to this one since I read the big Star Trek issue a couple of months ago. Star Trek number 1. It's Stardate 2378, and Benjamin Sisko has finally returned from the Bajoran wormhole, omnipotent, but with every minute, his godhood is failing. Sent by the prophets on a mission to the deepest parts of space aboard the USS Theseus, he witnesses the unthinkable. Someone is killing the gods, and only Sisko and his motley crew of Starfleet members from every era of Trek can stop them. So this just looks, yeah. Well, first of all, Sisko returning, so I'm very excited about it. This just looks so cool. And then the final issue of New Think from AWA will be coming out as well. And this has been just an incredible series. It's Black Mirror. It's Twilight Zone. It's just really odd and different, and I dig it. And yeah. In this issue, a woman tells a story so simple that even children can understand it. Too bad the adults can't seem to get the message.
That's fair.
Sounds like an election year. Anyway, that's what I'll be looking forward to this week. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie picks?
Indie picks this week from Sumerian Press, Sarah Loan, number 1. This one is for adults. It's mature readers, but it's a young woman with a rough past find herself caught in a destructive spiral after the brutal murder of her father, the owner of a modest artisanal shrimp fishery. I don't know why. This one just, I'm like, okay, that's weird. I'll give it a shot. And then from Abrams Press, The Last Mechanical Monster. Decades after being imprisoned for threatening his city with an army of giant robots, an elderly scientist re-enters society only to discover he needs help navigating life in the 21st century. It's just, I don't know. The cover was cute. And I was like, oh, if we get that in, I'm going to buy it. So there we go.
Very nice. I'm going to pick up from Image Comics Creepshow number 2, because I read the first one and it was spooky and it's Halloween season. And so that's always fun. But then also from Boom Studios, Damn Them All number 1. It's a new dark supernatural thriller. Again, I'm into spooky season apparently this year, because all of the supernatural thrillers are coming out to get me. Following the death of Ellie's uncle, an infamous magician and occult detective, the 72 devils are mysteriously freed from their infernal realm. And now it's up to Ellie to track each of these exiled demons and damn them right back to hell by any means necessary. holy water, conjuration, or her trusty rusty claw hammer. That's where it got me, you guys. A rusty claw hammer is where I was all in. So
that hooked right. me right there. Yeah.
Right. See? So that's what I'm going to pick up and read.
Because, you know, you not only get to, if you miss, you at least give them tetanus.
Right.
Hope they're up on their boosters. Well, that's it. Anything else this week, kids?
Nothing
I got.
Well, since we're off next week, I wish everyone a happy Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Happy Halloween.
Yep. I'm dressing up as my favorite Randy vampire from What We Do in the Shadows. That'll be my costume this year. I even have my long-haired black wig I can put on. So, looking forward to that. This week, in honor of Halloween, our Patreon episode will be covering the darkest comic books of all time. Now, this is some of the scary shit. So this will be a lot of fun to talk about. Not just the scary stuff, but the, you know, oh my God, that's scary kind of stuff. We'll be talking about that. And so you got to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia. Come on in, join our Patreon squad. Let's build it up to a full platoon. We want as many people as we can listening in on this. We have special extra content that we do both for this program and for The Left Show. And you get both for the price of one. So jump on board with patreon.com. It helps support the channel, helps take care of some things, helps pay Jeff's rent. If we could ever get enough people, we can
it
take
does
care
not,
of
it. It does not help pay my rent. It pays no, for, it, not. It pays for it, hosting, and that is it.
And hosting can get expensive, especially with our bandwidth issues. So, yeah, please help take care of us. And I will say, as I always do, until Wolverine fights Man-Thing for 100 million years, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.